Hi, Randy Cantrell here, BulaNetwork.com. Thanks for clicking play. The following was a video, but the video coding, something happened and the video got messed up. So releasing it as a special episode in audio only. You can see the show notes at BulaNetwork.com. So we're talking about lifestyle business, and that's the primary phrase that came up, but along with it, lifestyle design, and you've likely heard that. It's been a popular notion for about a decade, maybe not quite that long. My argument was every business is a lifestyle business. Might not be the lifestyle you want, but it's a lifestyle business in the sense that our work, our ability to earn money, to make a living, quote unquote, determines the lifestyle. He took issue with that. Didn't think that that was right at all. And I don't know that we made any progress in our friendly debate, but I continued to maintain that whatever lifestyle a person has, defined quite simply by the way that we're able to live our life, in terms of schedule, in terms of possessions, in terms of freedom and flexibility, or the lack of any of those things, it's determined by the business. Now, it doesn't mean, again, that it's the lifestyle that the person who's experiencing it even wants. And what some people find as a lifestyle business that is perfectly ideal for someone else, we might think, well, that, man, that would just be absolutely atrocious for us. I was reading an article, I think it was Inc. magazine, but I'm not certain. A guy who had gone and he had a passion for baseball, and he started collecting memorabilia and whatnot, and was very interested in the history of baseball, and got the wild idea that he would open up a little retail store, because he continued to go in store after store after store. And like many of us who find ourselves getting into a business, he got into a business because as he looked around, he said, I can do it better than this. And so he opened up a little 750 square foot store. And the fascinating thing that he found, and he wasn't doing it to pursue money, he was doing it because he pursued his love for baseball, particularly baseball history. And what he found is, he found that increasingly there was this community, there were these people that would come in and they would, well, they wouldn't loiter, but they would hang around because they loved being there and they loved talking about all this stuff. Now let's hope that they buy something every now and then. But he mentioned that if he didn't have a family, he goes there 6 days a week. He has no employees. It's him. He opens the store. He closes the store. And if he didn't have a family, he said he'd be there 7 days a week. He loves it that much. Now, I've spent a lot of years running retail companies, and I can tell you, I can think of a whole lot of things that I'd rather do than report to a 750 square foot store, particularly about baseball, which I care nothing about, 6 or 7 days a week. But for him, it's, he loves it. I do know this. When we talk about lifestyle businesses and we talk about lifestyle design, I do believe this. I do believe that we don't give it the consideration that we should. People will think about a lot of things and they will strategize and they will pontificate and they'll roll things over in their mind for a long period of time. Things that have a much lesser importance. Our businesses do determine our lifestyle. And I don't just mean the neighborhood that we live in, the cars that we drive, and how fancy, you know, our digs are, but they can impact a lot of things in our life. I have been in some situations in my life where I loved what I was doing, but what I was doing, you know, was such a pressure cooker, which I also love because I am, I'm a stress junkie. And if you're a stress junkie, then you get it. You understand it. There are a lot of people who aren't. I am. And that does take a toll. It does take a toll. And when you're in the midst of it, you don't often think about the pressures that it puts on other areas of your life because, you know, there's a price to be paid. Just last night, University of Alabama just completely annihilated Notre Dame in the national championship football game. Coach Nick Saban just does not look like a happy camper. He just does not look like a guy who enjoys much of anything. He was on the Dan Patrick show, and Dan was trying to have some fun with him. Well, you know, he's having none of it. He's talking about how when you play in this game, he's behind. He's behind in recruiting. He's got to really get busy in recruiting. Dan says, well, you know, I know that you go to the lake house, and when are you going to go to the lake house? And he's like, we got work to do. But for Nick Saban, it's pretty apparent to me that work, that stress, the chase, the pursuit, the process of building a team, recruiting a team, gathering a team, coaching a team, competing week to week, he loves it. Now, he may not love it in the ha-ha-ha sense, but he loves it because he devotes himself pretty fully to it. Now, he's spectacularly good at it. Is he good at it because he loves it so? I don't know. Does he love it so because he's good at it? I don't know. Chicken and egg and all that. But it's a lifestyle based upon his business, the business of being a top-tier college coach. I mean, just in that game last night, he gets a $100,000 bonus for getting into the game. He gets an extra $200,000 for winning the game. One game, $300,000. He's holding the trophy. There's a picture that's been posted on Facebook by somebody, and he's holding up this glass trophy, and he's just got this, yeah, okay, now let's get on with it, kind of a look on his face. And you think, does he enjoy anything? Yes, yes. And just because he doesn't show what you might show, and just because he doesn't behave like you would behave, doesn't mean that he's not having a good time. It is one man's ceilings, another man's floor, and all that. But as we think about lifestyle design, and as we think about lifestyle businesses, how do you go about that? One of the things that you will commonly hear and read, and I have found it helpful with a variety of pursuits in the past, and that is to make a list. I'm intrigued by people who go back to their youth and they have found something. Take Mr. Baseball, Nick Saban. I've seen countless documentaries and stories about him. And, this is a guy that grew up in West Virginia, super competitive. I've seen now my grown kids and hearken back to when they were toddlers. Not much has changed. Not much has changed. I think to some degree we are who we are. And I think the sooner that we can get a grip on that, maybe the better. There've only been a few things in my life that I had real, when it came to business, that I had real great clarity about when it came to decisions. I was a guy who, success happened early, and I got hired from one place to another place and hired from that place to another place. And And because I got started early and I had early success, I rose to heights earlier than a lot of my contemporaries did. I was fortunate. I knew people and I got opportunities and I knew what to do with the opportunities. But, you know, I wasn't faced with this dilemma of, okay, well, do I go? They're offering me 20% more. So sure. I didn't belabor those kinds of things. There was one occasion, though, that I did belabor it. I went to work for a large company, and the company asked me to consider moving to Kansas City. Now, I'm a fan of Kansas City, so don't get me wrong. If you live in Kansas City, there's a lot of things I love about Kansas City, and I spent a lot of time, particularly in Overland Park. I like it. I like it a lot, but I didn't want to move there. Because for me, one of the things on my list is geography, and I think you need to take that into account when you're thinking about lifestyle business. Now, there are a lot of people today that like to be, what's the term? You know, they want to be geographically free. They want to be able to do their business on a laptop. I understand the concept. I don't understand the appeal. It has no appeal to me. I don't want to live out of a suitcase or a backpack. I don't want to live on a beach forever. I don't want to be a vagabond and go around. I don't want to go to a foreign country. I love America. I don't want to leave my family. I'm a homebody. So to be this world-class traveler and to, you know, to be able to operate your business from any country on the planet, I have zero desire to do that. So I'm approached with moving to Kansas City, and I just couldn't do it. I sat down with my wife, and we had two little kids, and I said, I just can't do it. Because for me, what I understood is I'm in Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri, Southern Missouri, Louisiana kind of a guy. And I just couldn't see myself. It just didn't feel right. Now, there are a lot of people that don't have that hang up. Well, I do. And I had to come face to face with it. And I remember my wife and I, head honcho flies into town, takes us out to dinner. And in front of my wife, I just told him, I can't do it. Man, I just can't do it. And I understand, you know, I mean, if this costs me my job, Rhonda and I've talked about it. I can't do it. He was very gracious and he didn't make me do it. He let me stay where I was and I was thankful. Some years later, I had another opportunity in St. Louis. Had an opportunity to buy a business and was seriously thinking about it. Went up there, spent some time, took the family up there. And there's parts of St. Louis, I mean, St. Louis, I like St. Louis. Just couldn't do it. Couldn't see myself doing it. Just couldn't see myself being there. So for me, I came face to face, and this was 30 years ago, with the fact that I am who I am in that I'm from this part of the country. I'm in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. I'm home. I have no desire to leave Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. I'm not saying there aren't other great places. There's great places in Texas. Austin's a great place. Houston, you know, okay. It's a joke. There's this rivalry, if you don't know, between Houston and Dallas. But no, I'm not fond of Houston, by the way. I'm home. And besides that, I've now got grown kids and I got grandkids here. Why would I want to leave? And so I can't at all relate to people who say that they want to go to this far-flung place or that far-flung place and do business there. And just, you know, leave everybody that they know. I'm tied to geography. You may not be. That's on my list. So as I think about these things and I begin to write down some things, another category, pursuits, skills or pursuits. For instance, entrepreneurship. I'm interested in that. Podcasting. I'm interested in that. Video casting. I'm interested in that. Health and fitness for older folks. Well, I'm not, you know, I don't read constantly about it. I'm not up on the latest, greatest, coolest, trickest things, but I go to the gym every day. I understand the benefits of it. I want to eat better. So I'm interested. You know, communication. I mean, all kinds of communication, everything from writing to blogging to podcasting to public speaking. I'm interested. Bible knowledge. I'm interested. Music. Man, there's all kinds of music I'm interested in. Everything from, I don't know, pick something. Pearl Jam to Counting Crows to Bare Naked Ladies to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and on and on and on and on. It's a long, long, long list. Okay, can you focus business around any of these? Well, sure. So we got geography. We've got pursuits. For me, music. Cars. You like cars? I like cars. Wasn't real wild about the band. I did go see them once, by the way. That BMW M3, that orange one, it's bad to the bone. I'm not a Corvette guy so much, but that Z06, man, who can argue with it? Nissan GTR, there you go. Now we're talking. Classic pickups. I told my wife the other day, I had a 1954 GMC pickup truck. I kind of missed that truck. I painted that truck. I was in high school, and I painted it with a brush. I used automotive paint. Go figure. And it looked good, by the way. Well, I didn't have a spray outfit. A buddy of mine and I painted it dark, dark hunter green. The fenders, you know, it has those nice rounded fenders on the outside. The fenders, I painted orange. It looked good. I'm telling you, it looked good. Looked good. Had the interior reupholstered. It looked good. 3-speed on the column. Kind of had to hold down the third gear to pop out of gear. I like classic trucks. Okay, could you do a business around any of those? If you loved it enough, sure. Cartoons. I got cartoons around here. Art. I love cartoons. Most significantly, I love Ballard Street and Herman. But I like animated cartoons. I'm still a huge fan of, you know, the Bugs Bunny stuff. I mean, Mel Blanc, come on. Best voiceover guy going. Well, today it's Seth MacFarlane, but man, Mel Blanc, crazy good, crazy good. Photography. I like to take pictures. But I like to look at pictures. I'm intrigued with good photography. I don't understand apertures and all this stuff. I mean, if it doesn't have autofocus, I'm out. But I like it. Tons of people making money online. I mean, come on, pro blogger. Isn't Darren Rouse pro blogger? You know, guy's probably made a gazillion dollars with a photography site. Places. And when I say places, I don't mean specific places. I mean a little bit more generic places. The things that I wrote down, log homes. I love log homes. There's an open house log home. I'm stopping. Tree houses. What's not to love about a tree house? I love tree houses. Home studios. People talk about these talking head videos. You know, there's no reason to do. I like talking head videos if it's, you know, if I can see the person and I can see kind of the, it's why this angle is prominent in some of my videos. Because I like this. You may not. I watch the Dan Patrick Show pretty regularly. It's a radio show, but it's on DirecTV. Well, it's now on NBC Sports as well. It's them in their studio doing the show. But I like studios, these kinds of studios. There are certain items that I like. Well, hello, here, microphone. I love mics. I like to read about microphones. I like to hear people test microphones. I like speakers. I like hi-fi gear still. Stereo gear, go figure. And that goes way back. Guitars, and I don't play one, but I like them. And I've always liked them, always. Notebooks and pens, I've always liked them. It is funny how some of these things go back in your roots. I was watching a video was released just this morning, Aphrodite Jones. She is a crime reporter. Been doing it for 20 years plus. Well, I didn't know. She released this video this morning, and she talks in the video how she lost her parents when she was very young. Lost them suddenly. They weren't murdered, but lost them suddenly, and that propelled her into this game of being a crime reporter. Because as she began to unravel these stories, particularly these stories of murder, people whose lives ended suddenly. Their loved ones left just racked with pain over a sudden loss. She could relate to that. A husband, a wife, a mother, a father whose relative committed murder. Well, they too racked with immediate pain, something that just happened in a flash. She could relate. Go figure. It led to a successful career. She's got a show on, I don't know, ID on DirecTV. You know, it's one of those kind of first 48 kind of type shows. Interesting. Pretty interesting. I'm intrigued when I read about, and so often this is the case, you read about people who get into something, business, career, because it's something that harkens way back. You can read Stephen King's book on writing, and you can see the world that he lived in that produced him. He loved books, and he loved stories, and he loved these kinds of stories, these horror kinds of stories. Now, that may not be your cup of tea, but if you read that book, you'll get a better sense of why he is doing what he's doing. So I don't know about you, but for me, I wonder, even at this ripe old age of 55, I wonder, because I was a kid, you know, I fell into selling. I fell into the area of business. And I talked to so many people my age, men in particular, and there's a lot of us that's our story. Our story is lifestyle business in that our business afforded us a certain lifestyle, but this whole lifestyle design, relatively new thing, really new thing for us, because we got thrust into something. And if we were good at it, we stayed with it. I did. And you just stayed with it and you stayed with it. Now, for me, it was business. And in particular, it was selling and it was management. It was leadership. It was running successful organizations. It was building successful organizations. It was turning organizations around. But it was all in the space of business building, doing business. I don't know. I mean, could I have fallen into something else? Maybe. I've talked about getting out of engineering school when I was in college and getting into the school of journalism. And that was an epiphany type thing for me. One of the few that I've had. And you do know I'm still just a man in search of an epiphany. The epiphany of not moving to Kansas City or St. Louis, that applied. But the other epiphany that I can recall is just the feeling when I got into journalism and how you could go from dreading going to class when you're in engineering to can't wait to get to class in journalism. I felt that. And if you haven't felt that, I would encourage you to dig deep. Spend some time and think. And we do desperately, I think, need to spend more time thinking about what are we good at? What do we love? And are we good at it because we love it, or do we love it because we're good at it? Does it really matter? I don't care. What am I good at? What do I enjoy doing? I got into journalism. I couldn't wait to get to class. I couldn't wait for the next semester to roll around so I could take that course and that course and that course. Here's the funny thing about it. I never did. Even then, I didn't intend on using it. I never intended on leaving a life of selling and being in business to go to work for a newspaper or to go work for a television station. Now, this medium didn't exist. Okay, this was 100 years ago. It's when dirt was young. But I loved it because I've always loved books. I've always loved pens and paper. I've always loved writing. I've always loved communicating. And there it is. There it is. Communicating. All kinds of communicating. If you were to talk to the people that are closest to me, more often than not, they would probably accuse me of being an over-communicator. I've long told my kids, I'm not going to be the father who dies having left things unsaid. I'm probably going to die having said too much, if that's possible. And that's rare. I know that's rare. And I know that's particularly rare for men. You know, you see all these stories of guys, you know, they don't want to talk. And I do. I get in those modes too, where I don't want to talk. And it's not like I have to tell everything I know. Here I am recording. I am by nature a stoic, sober person. I like to have a good time, and I'm not quite like Nick Saban. I can laugh out loud. I can smile, and I do like humor, and I love sarcasm. Okay, so what do you do with all of that, Randy? What do you got this list and you got these things that you think define you and kind of make you. What do you do with those? I don't know. I don't know. I think that you spend time and you mull those over and you contemplate those things. I do not believe that every passion is a moneymaker. And I do not believe that we should abandon responsibility for irresponsibility simply because, well, we don't like this and we would like that better. I do think that complaining and whining and being unhappy are habits every bit as much as being contented and being at peace and having a degree of happiness. They too are habits. So if you find yourself in a career or in a business and you hate it, I mean, you absolutely hate it, my first counsel to you would be think about the things that you should be thankful for. Think about the things that you can affect positive change in and get busy doing those. Focus on the things that you bring to the table that are special and unique strengths to you that you might can change the outcome. And while you're doing that, think about changing your mind. Think about changing your mind so you're not as miserable. And then work on something on the side. Nothing wrong with that. But I've seen too many people who got themselves in Cubicle Nation miserable, unhappy, believing all of the hype that they hear about other people who aren't in Cubicle Nation. And I got news for you. There are people who aren't in Cubicle Nation that would love to be back in Cubicle Nation. There are business owners who'd like nothing better than be in Cubicle Nation where every week, every 2 weeks, somebody handed them a check and they had a degree of benefits and they could leave at some time and not think about it. Go home and have a life. They're out there. Believe me, they're out there. They're out there in droves. So be careful what you wish for. But work on trying to be happy and content, even if your situation is not optimal. Work on changing it. Work on improving it. But then as we try to decide who and what we are or what we might would like to do, and so many people in this economy are faced with no options. There's a lot of people in my age bracket that have zero options. Nobody's going to hire you. Well, you think nobody's going to hire you. And there are others of us that don't want anybody to hire us. We want to do our own thing. Well, what is it you want to do? But I got to end on this note because this is really critical, and it's been critical for me. And it really is summed up in one word question. And that one word question is who? All of this stuff that you might write down is about who you are. But I'm going to encourage us to think about who do we want to serve? Who do you want to be around? Who do you want to spend your time with? Now, for me, I can tell you, I'm immediately going to leap to who I don't want to spend my time with. I've said this before because a few years ago, I made up my mind, there are toxic people. There's a lot of toxic people out there. And I began to just try to tick them off. I don't mean tick them off as in hack them off, but tick as in a check mark. Okay, this person, what do they bring to my life? Grief, heartache, you know, constantly mooching off of me, not money, but time, energy, effort, check, done, out, complete one-way street. And it's all running toward them, and it's all running away from me. And that sounds selfish, and it is. But as you get older, you realize, you know, I don't have enough time left to waste it on you. I mean, if you're just a taker, and everything is always about you, and there's never any reciprocal behavior, I'm out. So when we think about who, we got to think about who we are, but we got to think about who are they? Who are the people we really want to spend our time with? The guy who opened up the little baseball shop, he goes because there's other people just like him. There's people that love baseball and they love baseball history. And you know what? He loves spending time with those people. Makes sense to me. I don't love it, but it makes perfect sense to me. All of the things that I've listed here, I could find people that love these things or love some degree of these things. I could spend time with people like that. But if I found people that didn't like any of these things, I got nothing in common with these people. Why would I want to spend time with these? It doesn't make them bad people, by the way. It might make them very interesting people, but not to me. That's all really important. It all speaks to identity. It speaks to our own identity, and it speaks to the identity of others. And I think who we want to serve and who we want to spend our time with is a crucial, crucial thing because it addresses the number one issue for most businesses, and that is who's your market? Who is your market? The baseball guy? It's people just like him. I know a lot of business owners who have successful businesses. They serve communities that are so not like who they are, but they like serving those people. Oh, they wouldn't want to be around them socially, but when it comes to business, yeah, they like it. What's wrong with that? Nothing. There's not one thing wrong with that. This stuff takes a lot of heavy thought, and it's not all comfortable. And some of it is looking back into our past, and it's trying to dig through, you know, all the big bags that we all carry around from our childhood. It's interesting to me that no matter how old we grow, we can go back to our youth, and it's funny how little has changed. We kind of are who we are. I think it's important for us to come to grips with that, come to terms with that. And you do get to a point in life like me where you realize, okay, you are what you are. Bill Parcells, when he was here coaching the Cowboys, would say, you know, a team is its record. If your football team has a losing record, you're losers. There it is. If you have a winning record, you're winners. And there it is. There's no point in pondering and thinking about and wishing that you were different. You are what you are, and you have to deal with what you are. And in our lives, we have to do the same thing, and that can be some of the toughest work on the planet. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com, and you are peering inside the Yellow Studio.